From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. If talks later this month in China to end North Korea's nuclear weapons program are to succeed, much will depend on the decisions of North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-il. Little is known in the U.S. of this eccentric figure beyond his reclusiveness and his pompadour hairstyle. His power base is the North Korean military, but he is said to favor economic reform. President Bush told a reporter last summer that he loathes Kim Jong-il. But among those who have met him and studied North Korea closely, a more complex picture emerges. NPR's Mike Schuster reports from Seoul.
Kim Jong-il became leader of North Korea for one reason, his father. His father, Kim Il-sung, had been the sole and undisputed communist leader of North Korea since the Korean Peninsula was left divided after World War II. In the early 1970s, he made a most uncommunist decision to anoint his son the future leader of the nation. But unlike his father, who was a big personality and dominated North Korean public life, Kim Jong-il remained a mysterious figure even after the death of the father in 1994. It took him 4 years to begin to make a clearer mark on North Korea. In 1998, he promulgated a new constitution, placing the military in the lead at the expense of North Korea's Communist Party. And he began to open himself up to the world, says Jung Chang-hyun, an analyst at the Unification Research Institute of Seoul's Junong Ilbo newspaper. Jung has traveled to North Korea numerous times.
Kim Jong-il is a very open-minded person. Also, he knows very well what outside world going on. So he's most open-minded person in Pyongyang.
Where his father ruled North Korea with an iron fist and made sure all the institutions of power conformed to his views, Kim Jong-il, initially lacking his father's ideological legitimacy, has had to play institutions in North Korea off against each other. He makes policy and protects his power through the National Defense Commission, and he runs the country through the Secretariat of the Korean Workers' Party. But they do not all work in unison, says Ken Gause, a former U.S. intelligence analyst who now works for the CNA Corporation near Washington.
There seems to be rivalries, and this seems to be something that Kim Jong-il has fostered. And it's a departure from the way that Kim Il-sung ran the system. So I would say it is definitely a system of opposition as opposed to a system of harmony that works to generate information up to Kim Jong-il.
One way that Kim Jong-il prevents this system of opposition from spinning out of his control is to work through another layer of power, says Ken Gause, which may be even more important.
Underneath these formal leaderships, you have an informal apparatus of power, which is made up of relationships that Kim has with various people. They could be blood relationships, or they could be relationships of people through his father's connections. There are essentially three generations of leadership that we're looking at here.
As he has had to create his own brand of leadership in North Korea, the country has gone through a decade of crisis. The end of the Cold War brought the collapse of massive subsidies from the Soviet Union and China. That brought on economic catastrophe and the widespread famine of the mid-1990s that resulted in 500,000 deaths from starvation. Through it all, North Korea continued to fear the possibility of an attack from the United States. The North Korean leader disappeared from public view for 50 days after President Bush included Pyongyang in the axis of evil in his State of the Union speech last year. Many analysts believe all this led Kim Jong-il to conclude that economic reform was the only means to save his regime. Chung In-moon met the North Korean leader during the 2000 summit in Pyongyang with then-South Korean President Kim Dae-jung.
He's extremely rational, flexible, and knowledgeable. Amazingly knowledgeable person. But here again, we should pay attention to the structural rigidity of North Korean society. In fact, Kim Jong-il is sandwiched between military hardliners and technocratic softliners.
By this analysis, Kim Jong-il has already made the decision to open up his economy to the outside world, but he knows that he cannot do that facing a hostile United States. So he knows he must give up his nuclear weapons project in the end to save his regime. This is not a view that is shared by all North Korea watchers here.
I don't think there is that division between softliners and hardliners in North Korea. I think North Korea is Kim Jong-il, and Kim Jong-il is North Korea.
Lee Dong-bak is a former official of the Korean CIA. He believes Kim Jong-il's primary concern is to protect his regime.
Yes, he may be interested in looking for some economic changes, but that is not kind of economic reform that some people talk about, hopefully. for the benefit of the people of North Korea.
In Lee's view, Kim Jong-il will never agree to give up his nation's quest for nuclear weapons because, as he says, no one will pay any attention to North Korea if it gives up the nuclear card. But others argue that Kim Jong-il's views are more complex than that. He understands, they say, why the North Korean military feels it needs nuclear weapons as a deterrent against attack from the United States. But Chung-in Moon says he also holds a deeper understanding of the economic crisis facing North Korea.
In order to cope with the threat, it should have a strong army. Economic technocrats want the growth and prosperity. In order to have a growth and prosperity, they should have more inflow of foreign capital and technology. Then opening and reform is the only way. Then how can you assure opening and reform? You got to resolve the current nuclear problem.
These are the issues facing North Korea as it heads into the six-way talks with the U.S., South Korea, Japan, China, and Russia, set to begin August 27th in Beijing. For North Korea, say many analysts here, this is the most important matter, a matter of life and death, facing the Hermit Kingdom today. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Seoul.